Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. TD will join us in 1 hour. And remember, big 102.5 and 106.3, The Game programming announcement coming up at 5 o'clock on Stillman and Company. So make sure to stick around for that. Ever since the draft, and even before the draft, when there was so much speculation and so much obvious interest of the Titans looking into the quarterback position in this year's draft, we've had the conversation of who's the starter, Ryan Tannehill or Will Levis. Ryan Tannehill or the quarterback that they'll inevitably draft in this year's draft. And while it can get to heated debates and discussions, overall, it's a good thing that the Titans have an option, that the Titans have, at least in theory, found their quarterback of the future. And sometimes there are things that come out that remind me and should remind all of us that overall, quarterback competitions inherently are a good thing because there are so many teams around the league that are starving for just a competent quarterback, much less a quarterback competition between two potential starters at that position. And this was one of the stories that kind of reminded me. Did you guys see this story about the Commanders that came out over the weekend?
I can't say
I did not, but
that I
I
did.
think
I was
I've
trying to
but
remember.
I've been I think we all have been puzzled
about
at
the Andrew Luck
what their
about the Andrew Luck deal. Is that the one you're talking about? Where they contacted
Yes.
supposedly Andrew Luck. Yeah, so I've heard about that one, yeah.
Wait,
So
tell me about this. I have
yes,
not heard
well
this.
in what was it, 2022, which was last year, last season, I
Last
guess it
year.
was beginning of the season, that they reached out. We don't know if it was necessarily to Andrew Luck directly or some people that know Andrew Luck to try to gauge, where he's at in regards to is he thinking about, does he want to come back to football or is he good with just retirement? And we know that Andrew Luck has said, listen, I'm done. I am retired. I'm not coming back. But I guess the Commanders chose to reach out, which is, if it happens, Carolina, if I'm right, it is a violation of the NFL rules, right?
It technically would be tampering. And so, okay, well, I'll go back. This was in an article on ESPN.com. John Keim for ESPN.com wrote about the Commanders. They didn't feel the same urgency they did last offseason when they called every team that might have a quarterback available. They even phoned the retired Andrew Luck just in case. I mean, we know how desperate Washington was and still is for a quarterback. They traded all those picks for Carson Wentz, which obviously didn't pan out. I mean, Washington's quarterbacks the last few years, Taylor Heineke and Carson Wentz and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Alex Smith after his prime. I mean, and now it's Sam Howell this year. I mean, poor Washington is just desperate for some just average quarterback play. So desperate that they picked up the phone and called Andrew Luck, which I didn't even think about that being tampering because he's retired. And he's not in the league. He's not under contract. But Jim Irsay picked up his phone and took the Twitter, which he does a lot more than I would want any owner of a franchise that I'm a fan of to be tweeting and talking about the inner workings of that team, and said, "Hey, just by the way, so everybody knows, the Indianapolis Colts own the rights to Andrew Luck, and it would be tampering if any team picks up the phone and calls Andrew Luck to potentially be their quarterback of the future."
Yeah,
I mean,
I mean,
really, though, if that happened, what were the chances? Do you think Andrew Luck has picked up a football in the last 2 years?
I don't think, other than probably to toss it around at a barbecue or something, just like,
Nerf ball.
hey, exactly. But, okay, this is what, I'm not saying that it didn't happen because I'm sure, and I don't know how, when they picked up the phone, I don't know how serious they thought, making a call and him saying, hey, I want to come out of retirement. I don't think they ever thought that would happen, but it was one of those things. Oh, well, let's just try it. Anybody got Andrew Luck on cell number, but would you by any chance? Oh, I got it. Hey, let me see it. Let me just call and see if he's willing, knowing that more than likely is not. But this is what I don't get. He retired in 2019, right?
19.
His contract, I think he had, what, 3 more years left on his contract, somewhere around there. Now, I don't know if he had to pay any money back or just a portion of the money back, the prorated money that he would have had to play. I think it was his bonus or something he would have had to pay back. But I think he didn't have to pay it back because it was sort of like in good faith. You know, if you stay retired, then you keep the money. You've done a lot for this organization. But when does the when does that time run out? Like, and I hate how I truly hate how they phrased it too. There's something about the phrasing that gets me as a person, as a black man. It gets me like, I own you, your rights. No, whoa. Let's stop it right there. There should be a part or something within there. Like, after a certain amount of years, if you're far removed from your contract, say if you had 3 years left. Well, if I've been retired for 3 years, now I'm free to come back. It shouldn't be, well, no, I get to.
They still control his
rights. Yeah, control your rights. Yeah. It shouldn't be that way. After a certain amount of time, it should be, we're done. You know, it's over with.
That's always one about the retirement that's interesting, because you wonder if sometimes the player is trying to just get out of a situation. Right, so I don't like who I'm playing for. So I say, I'm retired. I sign the papers, and then about your, you know what? I want to.
You don't sign
back.
No papers, man. You have to sign the papers. At least I didn't sign papers.
You never signed the papers?
No, I don't even.
They
always
talk about this. You got
to
sign the papers.
I'm trying to figure out what was the papers.
I don't even know. But you know what I'm saying? It's happened before. I retire. Oh, and you have this big ceremony. Oh man, Willie's retired. What a great career he had. Let's put a plaque up. You know, let's look back at the highlights, the best of Willie. He's done. We're going to really miss you, Willie. And then 6 months later, hey, I think I'm going to come out of retirement and play over here for your arch rival. I mean, that's kind of what
I can see. I mean, that's why teams
want to protect themselves and hold on to it.
Me, it's like after 3 years, then it should be, okay, you do what you want to do. You know, we've moved on as an organization. Okay. You do what you want to do. I can understand, like, retiring and then coming back a year later to play. No.
Which happened.
Which it happens. Yeah. But, you know, in this situation, it should be, hey, listen, he's done now. You know, we don't own – I hate to use that word. But he's not under contract by us anymore.
You think that there would be a statute of limitations on those things? I mean, you don't just – you know, own the rights to the name, image, and likenesses of these players for the entirety of their lives. But I guess that it is under contract, or technically he is, quote unquote, owned by the Indianapolis Colts until a certain time. But if the Washington Commanders do get slapped with tampering for this, oh my gosh, what another massive blunder by Dan Snyder and the Washington Commanders. Because it would likely be a first-round pick taken away, or at least a high-round pick taken away for tampering. I mean, that's what Miami was dealing with this past season. They had their first-round pick taken away for tampering. So if Dan Snyder totally screws this team over yet again with no first-round pick when they have no quarterback, man, oh man, what a dumpster fire that is going on in Washington. And I'm sure if Jim Irsay can slap Dan Snyder with any sort of punishment or stick it to him in any way possible, he will. Jim Irsay hates Dan Snyder.
Sure.
Well, my thing is, if I'm the NFL, I am not punishing the new ownership group. I am fining Daniel Snyder before he gets out of the building. I'm doing my due diligence as quickly as possible, and I'm finding him before he gets out of that building, because he's acting right now as a guy that knows. Well, he was acting then as a guy that knew he wasn't going to be owning the team moving forward. So whatever he was doing, it wasn't, you know, oh, he didn't think, or he didn't want to think, or didn't have to think about what would happen to this organization in the future, because he knew he wasn't going to be owning it. So if he reached out to Andrew Luck, so what? That's in his mind. He's probably thinking, so what?
I'm out of here anyway.
I'm out of here anyway. So to me, and you're right, if they do find out it did happen, obviously the league would penalize. But my thing is, why penalize the new ownership group if indeed they didn't know this coming into it, that he had reached out to Andrew Luck? Yeah. So you find Daniel Snyder as he's walking out the door. But, you know, I don't know if they're going to do that. They probably just end up, like you said, taking away a pick or something, if indeed they find out this is true.
Just a total bleep show. I love it. One texter texts into the text line, phone line served by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Since D-Maze didn't sign papers, does that mean that he's still a free agent? And can he play for the Titans?
Yeah, I'm a free agent. I didn't sign no papers. I mean, I can't remember. I need to go back. But I don't think there was these mysterious papers. I need to ask other players that retired. I really do. Like, did y'all actually sign papers that had retirement papers and then had to send them into the league? Because if y'all did, I didn't sign mine.
And obviously those papers aren't binding.
You've been active all these years. You didn't know it.
But obviously my benefits, you know, the retirement benefits kicked in as if I was retired.
Okay.
So somebody decided he was retired.
Was it an e-signature?
I don't know what it was.
We can have you do an e-signature.
Oh, man. Yeah, Caroline. I didn't sign no papers. I really didn't.
Let's hope the papers didn't go through, because the Titans might need you this year, D-Maze. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And speaking of Jim Irsay, he is up to it again. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063, the game.
You watch his tape. It's absurd to think that this young man's ready to play professional. It's not fair to the young man to play professional football. Mm-hmm. He's so far, he's 2 years away from being a year away. Okay? Let me just put that out there. And I like Anthony Richardson. I have been a fan of his. I love his skill set. I do not love his tape. Let me be clear. I do not love his tape. The fact that he's being talked about in the top 10, which I do not believe will happen, right?
Ooh.
I don't. I mean, look, Malik Willis last year was in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Go through all your mock drafts. Nobody grades these mock drafts. Nobody looks at them next year.
That was Michael Lombardi on the GM Shuffle podcast on Anthony Richardson. He says he thinks Anthony Richardson is 2 years away from being 1 year away from being an NFL starter, which that might be a little bit more dramatic than a lot of other gurus, NFL draft gurus, other evaluators, GMs in the league. But it goes along with the same sentiment that we have heard and that we all have believed, that Anthony Richardson is most likely going to be a project for the Indianapolis Colts. And I don't mean that in a derogatory word. I feel like sometimes using the word project is a little bit disrespectful, but I think that's kind of what we see Anthony Richardson being. He'll come in and he'll learn, he'll gain some more experience. He's just not quite there yet. Now, that's Michael Lombardi's opinion, but I think that's a pretty widely shared opinion around NFL spaces. But Jim Irsay, Colts owner, has already come out and said that he wants Anthony Richardson to start at some point this season. He spoke with Judy Batista, who was a columnist for NFL.com, and she said that even if they were picking number one, they would have taken Anthony Richardson, and he will start this season. I fear that with all of Anthony Richardson's talent and with all of his potential, Jim Irsay, in the impatience of the Indianapolis Colts fan base, is going to stunt Anthony Richardson's growth and could potentially not reach his full potential if he is to start at some point this season. And I fear that he's going to be ruined by Jim Irsay.
Well, first of all, Michael Lombardi is trying to do some Monday math on me. I don't appreciate that. He's 2 years away from being 1 year away. That's like a math teacher going, okay, I got a riddle for you. If he's 2 years away from being 1 year away, how many years away
is he really?
Just say 3 years like a normal person, Michael. It's 3 years.
But it is interesting. I mean, we talk about it all the time, how some guys have crashed and burned, getting thrown in there before they're ready to go. And so they have to make that assessment. I don't think you can say one way or the other, Lombardi's opinion or Irsay's opinion, until he gets out there and starts practicing, and you go from there.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this team and where they're at, now we know they have a stud running back in Jonathan Taylor, and this offensive line needs to play better this upcoming season than they did last season. And I'm not saying that they're horrible, but if Irsay wants Richardson to be the starter, obviously the offensive line has to elevate their play to make sure that that, you know, that learning curve isn't as bad for Richardson. But I mean, a lot of it does depend on, you know, if they have enough weapons around Richardson. Because listen, we may believe, even, you know, and I believe that Richardson is at least, I would say at least, from what I've seen and from what I've seen the history of the NFL at that quarterback, let's just say the last 15, 20 years, it's going to take him at least a year. I'm not saying 2 years to be 1 year away. I'm not getting into no math like that. I mean, listen, I barely
Derek,
got,
you are
I barely
one
got,
hour
exactly,
away
I barely
from
got
being
past
40
trig.
Minutes away exactly. from being done with the show today.
I barely got past trig. I think I got a C, C minus.
Oh, congratulations.
Right,
I don't know if I got a C.
C's get degrees, James.
But
you didn't come here to play school.
I wish I had a T-shirt when I was at Vanderbilt with that. C's to get degrees. I would have
wore that happily.
Caroline, you could have sold me that at the dorm. I would have bought it.
But when you,
Vanderbilt C is an LSUA, Willie.
But when you get Richardson, you know that realistically he's a year away from actually being a starter. But listen, if he's learning the offense, just like I said with Will Levis, if he's learning the offense and he's showing that that curve, you know, isn't as bad. If he's picking up everything, if he's showing that leadership, then as a head coach and as a owner or GM, you got to look at it and say, okay, what are the benefits? If this young man is learning everything that we need him to learn, if he's picking it up quickly and we see it out on the field and we see it in preseason, how long then should we hold him back? If he's ready to go, I think a lot of this depends on Richardson. You know, regardless of what we
As
may think, you know, oh, he's 2 years away from being a year away. If this young man comes in and he shows that he's ready to go, then again, sort of like the Tennessee Titans, you got a stud running back, you got a defense that's good, you got one playmaker at least in Pittman Jr. on your offense. You got, you know, you can turn the ball and hand it off to Taylor 30 times a game if you want to. If indeed you have these things in place and he's shown that he's ready to go, why hold him back?
Okay, let's give you a little history. Uh-huh. All right, here's one. Because it has some of these elements that you're talking about. Like the owner does have the ability to say,
hey,
this is
playing.
What I want. Let's take Vince Young. Mm-hmm. The story is well told, you know. Jeff Fisher was not wild, to say the least, that Bud Adams, and I don't even know if Floyd Reese was really wild about it, but Floyd Reese was one of those guys that was pretty practical. The owner says, take Vince Young, mm-hmm. you take Vince Young. And I think Jeff Fisher went to greater lengths to saying, really, I don't know if we want to do this, but they got Vince Young. Norm Chow was the offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. right, who had been the Southern Cal orchestrator of Matt Leinart's offense, you know, the prolific college teams. So they brought in Kerry Collins last minute mm-hmm. to start and you know, jumped over Billy Volek. That was kind of a mess. So the team was 0-4, and they were struggling. They weren't really going anywhere. Norm Chow was on tape saying, he was asked about it, I can't remember if it was the coach's show or something, but or his weekly, you know, media availability, and he said, mm-hmm. you know, Vince Young's just not ready yet. He's making progress behind the scenes. But people were asking, they're 0-4, why not just throw the guy in there? Mm-hmm. He went through this long thing about how he's not ready. And then about 2 days later, Bud Adams says, Vince Young is starting on Saturday, on Sunday. And Vince Young was the guy the rest of the year, and he was the rookie of the year.
Uh-huh.
So you just never know how it's going to go. It's really hard to say, okay, our plan mm-hmm. is for him to sit for 6 weeks, and then once we get going and he shows that he's ready, you know, it's just never, you can't predict these things, right? You hope, and you do read and react, but like I said, the wild card is when the owner says, I don't care if he's ready or not, get him in there. He's our first round pick. Yeah. So I worry for Anthony Richardson, right? Because you want him to be surrounded with the right people, with the right system to where he can succeed.
Well, you think, you know, Steichen coming from Philadelphia understands, like, okay, this is what we did, you know, explain to him, this is what we did with Jalen Hurts. And it seemed to work. Yes, we threw him in there, I think, what's the second year? He played some his rookie year, I believe. Then the second year, he became a starter. And then, obviously, we know what he did. And it's, you know, parlayed him into having this huge contract and him being one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. But at least I think if you're an owner, I think, but it's Irsay, that you would listen to somebody like a head coach. He's just – You just hired the guy. He just went through it, and he saw the benefits of sort of doing it, you know,
gradually.
Not saying you're 2 years away from being 1 year, but saying, hey, listen, he may not be ready first game of the season, but that doesn't mean he won't be ready, say, if we get in the middle of the season and things are not going as well.
Caroline, you remember how uncomfortable Chris Ballard was at the press conference when Jim Irsay inserted Jeff Saturday as the coach, right? And everybody's going, what the heck are you doing? This is crazy. You know, and Chris Ballard is having to nod his head and say, well, we had this discussion. And you could just tell that it probably wasn't his idea.
No, not at all.
But he had to sort of go along with the owner.
Watching it through my computer screen, I felt how awkward it was. And I know that Jim Irsay only wants good things for this franchise, but I have looked at some of the decisions that he has made, and I'm thinking, man, you are hurting this team more than you're helping it. And just based off of what I've seen from Anthony Richardson, what we've heard about Anthony Richardson, starting him at any point this season, it's probably going to hurt him and the team a lot more than it's going to help them. You know, I understand the idea of he looks really good, he's coming along nicely, but commit yourself to this being a year where Anthony Richardson can just learn and then go from there. And there's somebody on our stream who said, I wouldn't fear the Colts ruining Anthony Richardson. We have to play them twice a year. Let's rejoice in it. From a Titans fan's perspective, you're probably hoping that
you want
Jim
them
Irsay,
to mess it up.
Yes, that crazy old guy running stuff in Indianapolis probably ruins Anthony Richardson, because that's probably a good thing for the Tennessee Titans. It's the same thing when the Jags drafted Trevor Lawrence and had Urban Meyer as their head coach. We could all kind of hope that Urban Meyer would stick around in Jacksonville.
And
that
the Texans
nightmare.
Deshaun Watson train wreck. I mean, all of these things help the Titans, right?
It's great when
the rest of your division messes up. Just like when you got the fantasy owner, your fantasy football.
Yeah,
you love the bad, goofy owner that doesn't pay any attention to anything. You want that guy in your league.
Exactly. But it almost seems, and let me know if y'all think this, Caroline and Willie, it almost seems like an arms race here with Irsay. Not necessarily, I'm not saying it's that way with Amy, because she hasn't presented herself in that fashion where she's, you know, coming down from up high and said, listen, this is what I want y'all to do. And she's spreading around all through the media. She hadn't been that way. And it doesn't seem like she is that way. She's hired good people in place and they're doing their job. But it almost seems like an arms race. Like, we need to beat them before they beat us to the punch. Let's start our quarterback right now before they start theirs. It's not ready yet. We're still tweaking. No, it doesn't matter. He's going to be start. But we just told you it may explode on takeoff. I don't care. Just put it in there and let's go. We're trying to get somewhere. And it seems like that's what Irsay is at. In regards to him, you know, saying that, you know, Richardson, I want Richardson to be the starter. Well, yeah, you do, but you want to do it in a way where it doesn't hurt the player, and then it doesn't hurt your franchise. But I guess he really don't care.
It's almost like when you bake cookies and you bite into one way too soon and you burn your mouth and you're like, if I would have just waited just a couple more minutes, my cookie experience would be so much better. That's how I view Anthony Richardson. I know you want to see the guy that you just drafted, the new shiny toy that you brought in. I know the fans want him to start, but it's going to be so much better for you if you just wait. Just give it some time. And I know from the Titans' perspective, it's the best possible thing for the Titans if Anthony Richardson does get ruined by the Indianapolis Colts. But as a lover of the game, an appreciator of talent, I don't want that to happen to a guy like Anthony Richardson. I didn't want that to happen to a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence. They're just too talented to be wasted on poor ownership decisions. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It is NHL Lottery Day. What could potentially happen for the Predators tonight? What's the best thing for the Predators to happen tonight? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game in the Game. Nashville app left TD in 30 minutes. Looking forward to having TD on. And hey, Joan, 1025, The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. So sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Happy NHL Lottery Day to everybody. Now, the Predators now have the 15th best odds of winning the draft lottery tonight. They have a 0.5% chance of winning the draft lottery tonight. The only team with worse odds at 16 is Calgary, with also right around 0.5%. Anaheim, Columbus, and Chicago each have the best odds of winning, 18.5% for Anaheim, and Columbus and Chicago trailing at 13 and 11% respectively. Now, there are several different scenarios of how all of this could play out tonight, Willie, but what do you think would set the Predators up for the most success? What is the scenario tonight in the draft lottery that you think will be best for the Nashville Predators?
Well, let's just clarify for all of the people listening that the Predators cannot, they can win the lottery, but they cannot get the first overall pick. They can move up as many as 10 spots. So the highest the Predators could get would be number five. There's a complicated thing where if the Predators and the Flames won, there are two different picks, right? So the Predators could be five, they could be six. Most likely they're going to be 15 or 16. But hey, look, they got a ping pong ball in there. You never know, right? You never know what could happen. This is really what everybody is focused on. Realistically, you know, the teams that tanked, they got the most ping pong balls. So, I don't know about you guys, but the one team, and I think most Predator fans would agree, if the Blackhawks end up getting this thing, that is just going to just have everybody just eye-rolling left and right. I mean, I think just
let the conspiracy theory start.
You remember when the Knicks won the Patrick Ewing
thing?
The first time they ever had a lottery, and there were so many people
conspiracy, the NBA
wolf,
wanted it, and all
this
other stuff.
Thought something was up. That the Knicks, oh yeah, sure. First lottery, the Knicks, Patrick Ewing. Okay, nothing's up with that. You know, but you know that's what happened. So I don't know what's going to happen here, but you would obviously, for a guy, let's just presume that this guy, Connor Bedard, who was supposed to be the next superstar, he is as close to a can't-miss as you're going to get. I don't know that he is considered Connor McDavid kind of generational or Sidney Crosby, but he's getting talked about as a guy that's immediately going to be a star and help your team turn around in a hurry. That's the dream for all these teams. So you hope he goes east, right, if you're the Predators. You hope he goes to Washington or somebody like that, Ottawa, you know, some of these other teams that are in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, the Blues have a couple of ping pong balls in there. Mm-hmm. The Blackhawks have one of the better chances. The Ducks have, I think, the best chance. Now, they're in the West. They already have. They're further along than the Blackhawks are in the rebuild. The Ducks have some pretty good pieces right now that are really young. They can't win yet, but they could surround Connor Bedard with some pretty good players, and that could be pretty exciting. So that's going to be tonight at 7 o'clock. We're going to see what happens there. In the meantime, the other thing that happened over the weekend, you know, speaking of prospects and things like that, the Admirals got a huge series win. They were in trouble. They were down 2-1. They were in danger of getting knocked off in the first round after – basically loading up the team, right, with a lot of the guys that we saw play for the Predators down the stretch that did really, really well. But they pulled it out. Spencer Stastny scored the game-winning goal in Game 5 right after Manitoba had tied it up. So the Admirals advance. They also, right after we got off the air on Friday, signed another one of their first-round picks who was playing in Russia, Fedor Svechkov, who's 20 years old. You never quite know when you draft a Russian player. You can't be 100% sure that he's ever going to come over from Russia, because sometimes you just they love being at home. The KHL is out there. It's a little bit of a wild card. So they're really pumped up that he wants to come over and play in North America. That's another good prospect that they put into the pipeline. Probably it's going to be more for next year. But a lot of interesting things going on right now. So Barry Trotz will be looking, hoping. I will say this. The Predators have been in lotteries many times, including the very, very first year where they had a chance to get the number one overall pick, which would have been Vincent Lecavalier. And they have never won the lottery. They have never, ever benefited from the lottery. So maybe they're due.
Maybe this year's the year with their 0.5% Maybe they're due. Who knows?
So what you're saying is, I got a chance.
Tell me there's a chance.
That's right. Cue it up.
But looking at some of these prospects in this year's draft, I mean, there have been several teams that were, you know, just totally tanking for Connor Bedard. When was the last time that you remember there being so much buzz about a prospect like this? Because hockey prospects are tough, right? It's such delayed gratification. You draft a 16-year-old out of Czechoslovakia. You might see him the next 6 years as they start to develop. When was the last time you really saw a prospect with as much hype as Connor Bedard has gotten this past season?
Well, it would definitely be McDavid, for sure. And what was the year, Nick, you can help me out if you look it up real quick, the Austin Matthews, wasn't Austin Matthews 1 and Jack Eichel 2? One of the years where Jack Eichel was the second pick. There were two at the top. Hands down, it was either Matthews or McDavid, I don't remember. But the Buffalo Sabres fans, it was amazing. They were actively rooting. The fans would go to the game and root for them to lose. They won a game one time and they were, oh no, we won, you know, because before they went to this length with the lottery, they have now controlled it to where as much as you tank, you can tank all you want, but the highest percentage chance to get to the first pick is 25%. It didn't used to be like that.
It was 2015?
No, 2016. You had 2016. Austin Matthews go number one to Toronto. The Winnipeg got Laine. And then Pierre-Luc Dubois went to Columbus.
All right, so what was the year that Eichel
that
was
that was 15.
And I, 2015. Yeah, Eichel was 15, I believe.
Okay, so that was McDavid then.
McDavid.
Yeah. Okay, so you knew McDavid was one, Eichel was two. So the Sabres were hoping, obviously, to get McDavid. Mm-hmm. Not that Eichel was any chump. You know, he's really, really good. But that's the last time I can remember. I would say McDavid, to answer your question, Caroline for sure. Maybe to a lesser extent, Matthews a year or two later. But this guy's supposed to be legit.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. NHL lottery tonight. I think we can all agree probably the most likely scenario, the Predators don't get a draw tonight. They most likely pick 15th, but there is the teeniest, tiniest possibility that they could potentially be picking 5th if they do win the draft lottery tonight. So we'll keep everybody updated with that. That is tonight at 7 o'clock. Let's get into some of your thoughts on that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow night at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds come home to take on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. We've got texts in the text line on the Titans, on Will Levis, on the NHL lottery. So unless we have some thoughts,
let's hear what the people have to say. Let's hear from the people.
Let's go to the phones. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, says, I'd rather the Ducks get Bedard than the Blackhawks. I don't think Nate's alone in thinking that.
Knowing Nate, Nate is just diehard in the wall. He knows that if the Blackhawks get him, it's going to, that's not, That's just not fair. But, look, you got to prepare for it. The Blackhawks, they really stripped it down. They really stripped it down. The Ducks are probably a team, like I said before, that would be better suited to win that lottery and then be ready to win quick. They have a pretty good goalie. They have some high first-round picks that they've accumulated that are starting to come around a little bit. So I can remember the first couple years that the Oilers had Connor McDavid. They weren't very good, but it took them a year or two. But you could see it. You could see that McDavid was super special. He got hurt early, hit his first year too, and missed a couple of months. He didn't even win the Rookie of the Year. Can you imagine that, looking back on it, that he did not win the Rookie of the Year? He finished third only because he missed, you know, 32 games, something like that. So you never know. But there's no doubt the history rides on these kind of things. We mentioned Patrick Ewing. Remember the Magic won it with Shaq?
Yes, yes.
And then they won it again. You know, they got the Chris Webber, mm-hmm. right? Or who they traded for Penny yeah. Hardaway. But they won it twice.
Back to
back. What were the chances of that?
Mm. Well, very slim, but they did it.
Yeah. But it's going to set up. It's supposed to be. This is probably the thing for the Predator fans to keep in mind. Whoever's going to get Bedard is going to get Bedard. But it's supposed to be a pretty deep draft. It's a good year to have a lot of picks, and we know the Predators have two first-round picks, and they've got 13 overall picks, including multiple picks in some of the early rounds. So that's a good thing. So even if they are picking 15th, you know, they could probably move up a couple slots if they wanted to, or probably feel pretty good about who's going to fall to that neighborhood.
Another texter texts in and says, if the Predators can't get the first overall pick, what's the point of even winning the lottery? Well, I mean,
moving up to five would be pretty yeah. big.
A higher pick is never a bad thing. 15 versus 5 is a pretty big difference, really, to your point. I'm sure they can find a really solid player that's going to help this team in the future at 15. But picking at 5 is better.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt this team at all to win the lottery. I don't think it would ever hurt a team to win a lottery.
I agree, and the you know what's interesting strategy wise. Like you would also think, okay, if you have five, then if you have extra picks, which they do, could you move up to three or could you move up to two? You probably could. What's interesting is these guys are only 18 years old. You know these guys that you're picking, so only a handful of them will be anywhere close to being ready, or at least be ready to make a big impact their mm-hmm. very very first year. So you're really thinking down the road. With all these guys, and there's also a lot of misses, right? The younger you pick them, the more chance it is that you pick the wrong guy, you know. But some of those guys, like LeBron and Kobe, you know, some guys at that age are so good that you know. It doesn't come through every year, though. Like the kid that they picked first last year was not in that category. He's hopefully still will be a very good player. But the first pick in the draft, the kid, what's his name, Nick, of the Slovakia.
Slafowski, I believe Slavkov, is
how you say it. Slavkovski, I think
yeah,
is how
yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, they had him there the whole year for Montreal. They picked him first, kept him in the league, but he really didn't have much of an impact at all.
Yeah, but he also got hurt this year.
He did, yeah. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't ready even when he was playing.
No way.
So this is the year, though, that you want that number one. And everybody's tanked accordingly.
Everyone
but according to Gary
Bettman,
nobody tanked.
Yeah, right.
Oh, of course
okay.
not.
Wink, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Never. That never happens in sports. Tanking for Tua, absolutely not.
Never heard of it.
There are going – never heard of it. There are going to be teams that tanked for Bedard that will not get Bedard and T's and P's to those franchises. Chuck texts in about the Titans, says the Titans' chances this season were about the same as Jack had because Rose wouldn't let him on that board. You can't spell Titanic without Titan. I can't get on board with the Titans are going to be absolutely terrible, awful, horrendous, horrible. They have no chance whatsoever. They could be awful. Like, they could be truly terrible. They could be, you know, looking at Marvin Harrison Jr. with the number two overall pick next year. I don't know. But I also think they could have a chance at potentially winning the division. They weren't that far away from it last year. They were a Josh Dobbs fumble away from beating Jacksonville, winning the division, and going to the playoffs, even with all of the injuries that they sustained last year, even with an offensive line with a bunch of guys that they got off of the street. So I'm not counting out the fact that if they go decide to run it back and have the last dance with Byard and Henry and Tannehill, I'm not counting out the fact that this team could be good.
I wouldn't say they're going to be bad. I don't think this team is, you know, going to be bad. I would be surprised if they're like at the bottom half of the National Football League. But the difference here when we talk about the other teams in our division, more specifically the Jacksonville Jaguars. See, you catch Jacksonville last year, yeah, you still got a shot at winning because they're still learning how to win. We saw it in front of our eyes that the team at the beginning of the season was definitely not the team at the end that we saw. Trevor Lawrence at the beginning of the season wasn't Trevor Lawrence toward the end of the season. He became a better quarterback. The difference this year, this upcoming season, is to last season, this team knows how to win ball games now. They're together. They're getting additions that they didn't have last year. More importantly, Calvin Ridley. People forget about that. That was a move that they made that kind of went under the radar. Why? Because he was injured and because he had got suspended. This was a guy that was coming off of, I think, 1,300 yards, 1,200 yards, somewhere around there. And he was Atlanta's number one guy. And because of all that stuff that transpired, they chose to trade him. It went under the radar. I mean, it went so far under the radar that I don't think Jacksonville realized it happened. This year, he's on their team fully healthy. This is a elite number one receiver.
He could be a good missing piece.
Exactly. This team is getting better. So I don't think the Titans are going to be bad, but I don't think they're close to Jacksonville the way we sort of looked at it last season and how the season ended for both teams where, yeah, they were a fumble away from potentially beating Jacksonville. Fast forward that to now, it's not that close.
Jacksonville's
a much better team now.
I would say they're going to be the clear favorite. Jacksonville would be
the clear favorite. But the Titans are not going to be a bad team. That's what I'm saying.
They may not be at all. Like, they could have things fall right. I do think the ceiling, though, you know, can they compete with Kansas City and Buffalo and Cincinnati? I think that's a big – that's a little bit of a stretch, but the schedule should be a little bit easier. It's not. Last year was a tough schedule because it was a first place schedule. So you got a couple of games that, at least how it looks right now, on paper will be a little easier. Let's say Indianapolis and Houston both struggle as they try to figure out when to put in their new guy, all of that stuff. If you get off to a good start, you stay healthy, you know, could they scratch out 10 wins and be a wild card team? Or maybe the wheels fall off in Jacksonville, as they have many times before in that team's history. It's not out of the realm at all. But I just think the ceiling's a little low. Like, I don't like, if everything goes right, I don't know if you could win the whole thing. Get back to the playoffs? Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that this team, at least where it stands right now, I'm not looking at it and saying, wow, Tennessee Titans should have great odds to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't think that at all. But talking about the Titans winning the division, I don't think is far-fetched in the slightest. I mean, the wheels absolutely fell off for this team. And they were still in contention for the division up until the very last game of the season. So I know I think there will be a lot of revisionist history. I agree that Jacksonville will and should be the betting favorite for the division this year. But I think the odds that Vegas will give, and I know, what does Vegas know? But the odds that Vegas will give Jacksonville versus Tennessee to win the division, I think will be a little bit more dramatic, really, than what was reality this past season. And reality was, it came down to that final game of the season. It came down to so many injuries for this Tennessee Titans team, more injuries than any other team in the league. And it came down to a 7-game losing streak for the Titans to lose the division. But one texter texts in to the text line and says, Adam Portland says, we will make the playoffs. Jags literally have never won back-to-back divisions and everyone else sucks bad. Houston's not going to be great. I don't think Indianapolis is going to be great. But Jacksonville's not a bad team. Jacksonville will be the favorite and I think should be the favorite.
Although they're going to be the favorite. Yeah. I have seen teams have success that haven't had success in a while, and then regress a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's hard to see it. I mean, they are young.
Yeah.
But let's, you know, things, crazy things happen. That Lawrence could, you know, miss a chunk of the season for one, for injuries, something like that. Crazy things happen. You can never count on anything for sure in the NFL with the parity that exists.
Well, I mean, and then they got a first place schedule, so that may change things a little bit.
Yeah, but it'd be a little tougher for them.
To me, whether it's a first place schedule or last place schedule, playing in the NFL, every game is hard. Every game is hard. I said it with a T, heart, not hard, heart. Every game is hard. Whether you're first place or a last place schedule, you still got to play teams that, you know, that are good in their own sort of way. But Jacksonville, I think they are the favorites. They should be the favorites, consider what they've done and how they bolstered their roster this offseason. And it started in November when they went and got Ridley. We'll see. But I don't look at this Tennessee Titans team and say, well, this team is going to just be a bad team. Because to me, if they keep the guys that are in place now, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, if all three of those guys are on your team with Jeffrey Simmons, a better offensive line, I think this team still is a competitive team. Now, where does it shake out as far as their record? I don't know. But I think this is not going to be a bad team like many think it will be.
We have a lot of texters in the text line saying, I'd rather the Titans just be bad, be horrible, lose the division, get a better draft pick next year. You don't mean that.
Nah.
You do not mean that. After the Titans go 0-5 and you get your wish and they're not a very good team, they're going to be the same ones that are complaining about how bad this team is. They do not mean it in the slightest. TD Teron Davenport will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.